So I think CanSuns understand that the road to recovery is going to be long. And I think they would want lawmakers to be cautious as we move forward as a state.
All the commotion around the legislature finally passing a school funding plan may have overshadowed the fact that they're also working on a massive tax cut bill, controversial bill. Some say it simply returns a federal windfall to Kansas taxpayers. Others argue it's unaffordable at a time when the state is still climbing out of the revenue hole created by former Governor Sam Brownback's 2012 tax cuts. So just what's in this tax bill, and how might it complicate the final days of the session and efforts to fix a costly mistake in that all-important school funding bill? I'm Jim McLean, and we'll do our very best to answer those questions and more on this edition of State House Blend, Kansas. Once again, we're with Stephen Caranda, State House Bureau Chief for Kansas Public Radio, and we're looking ahead to when the legislature returns this week for a very brief wrap-up session. And Stephen, I think job one, of course, when they get back, is to pass that trailer bill that's needed to fix the school finance bill.
They had this big fight over the school funding bill. They passed it. It would increase funding over several years, and then when it tops out, it'd be about a $500 million increase. Except for an error in the bill, which now needs to be fixed. And this might be a better question for you because I've been on vacation, Jim, so I haven't been watching that closely. Yeah. But this whole time as we've been approaching it, I'm wondering if opponents of this school funding bill are going to see this as a second bite at the apple, maybe to make additional amendments to the bill, or if they defeat the fix that effectively lowers the total cost of the bill. What have you been hearing?
Well, Representative John Whitmer from Wichita, Republican from Wichita, tweeted the day that the error was discovered and reported that this gives us, quote-unquote, another chance to defeat the bill. Yeah, I'm really not sure how much of an appetite there will be for revisiting that debate, but this is something that, you're right, if it doesn't happen, we don't have the proposed school finance increase that everybody thought we did, and makes it even more likely that the Kansas Supreme Court will say, huh, not enough.
And it's not just, you know, some rank-and-file members who are critics of the school funding plan. You have basically the Republican Senate
leadership that's
who
right.
are against it. So this basically reopens the discussion.
One of the things I think that could complicate this trailer bill, Stephen, and the debate on it is the another very big issue that's looming out there, that the Senate passed a tax cut bill in the waning hours of the regular session. And the House didn't take it up, so the House is going to take it up, presumably, when they get back. And it's a very controversial bill because there's a big price tag on it.
That's right. And one of the supporters of the bill, actually, who helped create it, and this is Republican Senator Karen Tyson, chair of the Senate's Tax Committee, basically is arguing that we're going to get this windfall on the state level because of federal tax changes, and this bill is a way to not take that money as a state and benefit Kansas taxpayers.
This is not our money. This is a Kansas taxpayer money. Let's get it back to them.
That's what supporters of the bill say, that this merely, quote unquote, returns the federal windfall to Kansas taxpayers. Actually, Stephen, though, I think it does more than that, doesn't it?
It does. There are a few different things in here. The way we have it now in Kansas law is you can itemize on your state taxes only if you itemize on the federal level. But because of these federal tax changes, a lot of Kansans who itemize now won't be able to. So one thing this does, and this is directly related to the federal tax change, is it what some people call decouples Kansas law from federal law. So you could itemize on your Kansas taxes whether or not you itemize on your federal taxes. But it also makes some other changes. It raises the standard deduction, really reinstate tax deductions that were eliminated during the recent tax talks in recent years, or at least cut back. Mm-hmm. A couple examples would be mortgage interest deduction and property tax deduction. Those are now being ramped back up over several years, and this would just say, nope, they're fully reinstated right now.
And just to give you an example, raising the standard deduction in Kansas would cost almost $70 million in the next fiscal year. So this is a pretty pricey bill, maybe perhaps as much as $495 million between now and fiscal year 2023.
And we also heard during the debate over this tax bill people saying, look, we've got this big school funding bill. Why right. would we be passing up state tax revenue when we have to have these other costs?
So, Stephen, what do you think? This was a big deal in the waning days of the regular session, in the sense that the Senate was spent all the last day debating this tax cut bill, and there was a fear that they weren't going to get to the school finance bill. Some thought that there was a bit of a filibuster going on there. But the point is, the Senate is really invested in this tax cut bill, and I've talked to members of the House, They're not very keen on it.
My guess, and I haven't talked to House leadership here, but my guess is they're going to at least look into the bill and start preliminary work on it. But as you mentioned earlier, we don't have a lot of time. Is it, am I right, 8 days?
8 days. Mm-hmm.
So if they want to start tweaking what the Senate passed, then we get into a situation where maybe they'll run out of time. But again, as you said before, how intertwined are these issues going to be? Will senators maybe say, we're not passing the school funding fix unless you pass this tax bill? We don't know how those are going to be connected here in the final days of the session, but they could get really intertwined.
Yeah, it could get really messy. In any event, Stephen, I mean, my prediction, pretty safe prediction, I think, is that we're in for a pretty eventful 8 days.
The question is, though, are they going to be go from minute one in those 8 days?
Right.
As we often see, I mean, I could envision a scenario where they work on minor issues for 4 to 6 days and then basically work 48 hours straight. We see that at the end for reporters' sake. I hope that's not the case, but I suppose we'll find out.
So we'll all just have to stay tuned about that. You can be sure that we'll be on top of it, as will Stephen Carranda. Again, Kansas Public Radio State House Bureau Chief, I really appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you when it's all over.
Thank you.
The fate of the new school funding plan is still hanging in the balance as lawmakers return this week to wrap up their work for 2018. A costly mistake in the bill, already signed by Republican Governor Jeff Collier, must be fixed with a trailer bill that lawmakers hope to pass as a first order of business this week. But a tax cut bill approved by the Senate just before legislators adjourned their regular session looms as a potential complicating factor. Supporters of the bill pushed it through after hours of debate, saying it did two important things. First, it returned money to Kansas taxpayers that would otherwise flow into state coffers, money generated by the recent changes that Congress made to the federal tax code. Second, they said it reduced some of the tax burden put on Kansans by last year's repeal of former Governor Sam Brownback's 2012 tax cuts. But here's the potential catch. The Senate's new tax cut bill could cost the state treasury nearly $500 million over the next 5 years.
Which is very close to the amount that we need to spend on schools over the next 5 years. And really, it is not something that we can afford to do as a state at this time.
That's Heidi Holliday. She's the executive director of the Kansas Center for Economic Growth. It's a nonpartisan but left-leaning think tank that promotes what it says are, quote, balanced state policies.
We have spent the past 5 years dealing with budget cuts, dealing with underfunded services, dealing with revenue that was below projections regularly as a result of the Brownback tax plan. And we are just now beginning to dig ourselves out of the hole that we were put in as a result of that tax policy. Now is not the time to do this bill.
Research done by the center indicates that the state has more than $1 billion in deferred needs that couldn't be addressed if the House follows the Senate's lead and passes the tax cut bill. Needs like paying back the nearly $200 million that the state essentially borrowed from the Public Employee Retirement Fund after the Brownback tax cuts tanked state revenues. Ann Holliday says things like putting 23 suspended highway projects back on the Kansas Department of Transportation's to-do list.
Kansas has a lot of repair to do. And one of the things that we keep talking about is that we have our four pillars as a state that we really need to be reinvesting in after 9 rounds of budget cuts. So obviously we need great schools for Kansas children. We need affordable health care. We need strong infrastructure. And we need thriving communities for our state. And we feel like these are the easily quantified pieces. And this is only the tip of the iceberg on it. There are many, many other components to our state that we're going to have to start investing in again as we recover.
So you're saying $1 billion is a conservative estimate as to what we need to do to start rebuilding the state?
Yes, I would say so.
And you said 9 rounds of budget cuts, did I hear
yes,
you correctly?
Yeah, 9 different times. We've also had sales tax increases as a result of not being able to meet our budgetary needs at the end of the fiscal year. So we are just beginning to dig ourselves out of this hole. And last week, the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group estimated that we are going to finally have positive income for our state, which is really exciting as we start to recover. And the number that they used was $533 million over this fiscal year and next, which is fantastic. We need that to be able to start reinvesting. We have, obviously, immediate needs for our state. education, transportation, we've got our thriving communities, we have healthcare, and we have our obligations like CAPERS and the pooled money investment loan that we took.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't know what that is in shorthand, the pooled money investment loan, but essentially that was a loan that the state took from itself. I mean, the pooled money investment board is idle funds, state fee funds and so forth. And so the state borrowed money from itself in order just to keep the budget going.
Yeah, and those sort of tricks and gimmicks were things that we saw over the past 5 years. And we are finally beginning to move away from that as a state. And now is the time that we should be starting to reinvest in these things.
Now, rhetorically, though, the folks who are pushing for this tax cut bill are characterizing it as something that merely returns the federal windfall, the money that's coming as a result of the recent federal tax changes to Kansas taxpayers.
You know, look, we don't even know how much Kansas is going to get as a result of any federal tax law changes. The original estimates that were provided in January have been revised several times by the Department of Revenue. And right now they're based off of forecasts provided to all of the states and then changed for the Kansas tax code to make them applicable here. We don't know how much revenue to expect. There are certain provisions of the federal tax law that Kansas could pass some legislation that would try to capture some of the revenue from overseas international corporations. But even that is very, very uncertain in the amount of money that we'll get from that and in the timing of when that revenue will come in. So it's really risky for lawmakers to be trying to pass a bill like this right now at this point in the session when we have so many needs as a state.
Let's deal in some specifics here. One thing, the federal tax bill, was it increased the standard deduction for taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And what proponents of the bill here at the state level are suggesting is that we ought to do the same here in Kansas. I mean, pretty significantly increase the standard deduction for single filers, families, and so forth. And that has a pretty big cost to it. It looks like it's approaching $70 million in the next fiscal year and another $50 the year after that and $54 after that. And what you're suggesting is that heads us back down the same road as the 2012 tax cuts had.
Certainly. And if we want to look at our tax code and work it to include some provisions that help low to moderate income Kansans, for instance, there are some more targeted approaches that we can take as a state rather than doing the increase in the standard deduction.
It'd be hard to argue that increasing the standard deduction on state tax forms is a return of the federal windfall. Essentially, it's mimicking what the federal bill did, but it's not it's not returning any money that the state is going to capture as a result of the federal tax changes. Okay. It also accelerates the restoration of some itemized deductions, medical expenses, mortgage interest, and property tax deductions that had been reduced previously by the state.
Mm-hmm. Our stance on that is that it's another wait-and-see approach. I mean, even with the CRE right now, we need to be being extremely financially cautious as a state and as we move forward. We aren't going to know the full impact of Senate Bill 30, the comprehensive tax reform plan that was passed last year, or federal tax law changes until June 30th or later. So we should really be cautious as we move forward as a state.
And by CRE, you mean the consensus revenue estimate.
Yes.
And just for the uninitiated, consensus revenue estimate, a group of state fiscal experts, the budget director and the head of the Kansas Legislative Research Department and some academics who look at very closely at various sectors of the Kansas economy gather annually in November, and they create a consensus revenue estimate. The governor then must base his or her budget on that estimate, and then that estimate is updated in April. That's what mm-hmm. we just saw happen.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what led to the forecast increase the amount of money that we expect to collect in revenue over the remainder of this fiscal year and next fiscal year by $533 million. But despite that good news, what you're suggesting is that we still need to be cautious because we're still recovering?
Certainly, we're still recovering, and we still don't know what the Supreme Court thinks of the education bill that was passed. We'll find out later in May, possibly in June, whether or not that five-year timeline is sufficient to meet the court's ruling. So there could be additional constraints on the state's budget as we move forward.
The legislature comes back. It has a relatively brief wrap-up session scheduled. There'll be a lot of pressure on these lawmakers in an election year to cut taxes. So what is your message to a House member as they're trying to figure out what their stance is going to be on this bill?
You know, I think Kansans understand where we're at as a state. There is, last year when we were approaching the vote for comprehensive tax reform and for ending the Brownback tax plan, I think lawmakers saw that Kansans around the state know what the impact of that was on their communities. They saw the cuts in services. They saw the impact of those 9 rounds of budget cuts on their local communities. They saw the decreased money that was going to local communities to pay for essential services. So I think Kansans understand that the road to recovery is going to be long. And I think they would want lawmakers to be cautious as we move forward as a state.
The legislature has until the end of next week to wrap up a pretty big chunk of unfinished business. That includes both the tax cut bill, the school funding fix, and a host of other issues. We've got Kansas News Service reporters following it all so that we can update you next week. Until then, I'm Jim McLean, thanking you for tuning in this week and for being part of our growing list of subscriber listeners to State House Blend, Kansas.